Outline again, but we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Numbers chapter 1, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. All right, everybody there, say amen. All right, two people are there. Anybody else there? All right, Numbers chapter number 1, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. All right, you don't know where Numbers is at, then it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You don't know where 1 Corinthians is at, it's Acts. Oh, where are we at? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Amen. It's my handy cheat sheet. Amen. All right, Numbers 11, go ahead and start reading with me in verse number 1. We're going to go all the way down to verse number 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Okay, you guys should be reading with me. Amen. So read audibly or loudly. No, this is Numbers 1. Did I say Numbers 11 again? Why is Numbers 11 stuck in my brain? It must be something interesting over there. Oh, that's why. It's when the people complain to displease the Lord. Amen. Okay, that's why I stick them out. Okay, so we're not there yet. We have first Numbers. Y'all getting me confused there. Numbers 1, 1 Corinthians 10. Amen. Let's take it one time, one at a time. All right, Numbers 1, 1 through 4. Here we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. Hence, that's where Numbers gets its name from. That's for the numbering of the tribes of Israel. And there were two numberings. There was one here. And if you remember, there was one towards the end of the book of Numbers. Why was there a second numbering while we turn over to 1 Corinthians? Anybody remember? Why was there a second numbering? First generation died off. Amen. So they had to renumber. Back over on 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And the question I asked was, what correlation does the book of Numbers have with 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? And we found out that many of the things that happened here in verses 6 down through 9 all are listed, or 6 through 10 all happened in the book of Numbers. Verse number 1, start with me at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Father, speak to our hearts so once again tonight. Help us to glean from this passage, Lord, and to see the reasoning and the purpose behind Paul's writing, and Lord, the correlation to the book of Numbers. And Lord, I just pray that when it's all said and done, that we might truly say it's been good to be in thy house tonight. And Lord, as normal, we are faced with an open word of God and we get face to face with your word. Help us to leave here differently than we came in, Lord, more shaped and molded to the image of Jesus Christ and more conformable to the image of your dear son. We thank you again for your goodness, Lord, and just ask that our hearts hearts now would be open, and Lord, that would be absorbent to your word, and then we might apply that which we have seen and heard, avoid that which is avoidable, and Lord, embrace that which is godly that you would have us to embrace. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're talking about the numbers outline, and last time we looked at the outline there, and we went through all of the things that are contained therein. We looked at the numbering, the first numbering, then we looked at the second numbering. We talked about why that there was a second numbering. Then I brought you down and walked you through the outline, and we came to the memorable events. And one of the memorable events that really stuck in my heart was the complaining of Israel. Then I asked you this question: what is the correlation between 1 Corinthians 10 and Numbers, the book of Numbers? And we came up to this conclusion. Many of the things that happened early on that Paul alludes to happened in the book of Numbers. Now, the rest of the trivial question here. If that is the case, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 chronicles some things that happened in Numbers, what was the whole premise behind Numbers? What did I say Numbers is all about, basically, other than the second numbering of the people? What did they spend most of their time doing in Numbers? Walking in the wilderness or wandering. Wandering. 40 years they wandered. How would you like to go 40 years and not really go anyplace? Amen. Hey, did they have a destination? The destination was the Promised Land. But for 40 years, they walked and got no place. Wandering. Now, think with me just for a moment. If Numbers is about wandering, and Paul and Corinthians writes to the church at Corinth and warns them from the book of Numbers, why do you think he's warning them? If they're not careful, they can wander. If they're not careful, they can wander. Folks, that's a good lesson for us. If we're not careful, we can wander. If God has a way for you to go, and if you don't go God's way, guess what you're doing literally? Wandering. Because you're not going where God would have you to go. You're wandering. Where did God want them to go? The Promised Land. Because of their murmuring, they were made to wander for 40 years. And a whole generation died. As the Bible says, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Amen. And so when you look at Numbers, the book of Numbers and their wanderings, you look at 1 Corinthians number 10, what does Paul start off in chapter 10, verse 1? Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be what? Ignorant. And what do we say ignorant means? To be without knowledge. To not know something. Amen. Sister looking at me. I remember what you said last week. And for some folks, that may be applicable. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant how that all our who? Fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And he begins to mention of all the commonness that they have. Amen. Oh, between next week and this week, we're going to look at this basic outline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, we're going to look at the equal exposure that they all had. The equal exposure they all had. And then we're going to look at verse number 6, the equal example that they all had. Then verses 7 through 10, we're going to look at the unequal experience they all had. And then finally, we're going to come down to verses 11 through 14, the equal expectation that they all had. Over the next couple of weeks here, we're going to look at that, amen? Because Paul wanted the saints at Corinth to learn from some examples of some things that happened to their forefathers of faith, if you would, amen? By the way, their constant and continual complaining led to their disbelief, and their disbelief led to their wandering, amen? Amen. By the way, does anybody know anything about the book of Corinth, the book of Corinthians? Anybody know anything about the book of Corinthians? What is it mainly a book of? Rebuke. He's rebuking them on things they did not do or were doing. Now, why did he get a chance to rebuke them? Anybody know? Somebody leaked it out.
Somebody leaked it out.
What am I talking about? Go back to chapter number one. Somebody leaked this out of the church. And notice down there in verse number 10 of chapter number one. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of who? Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Paul said, I heard. Somebody told me. So he's writing back about the garbage that was going on in the house of God that should have never been going on. Go back, let's see. Let's go to chapter, where do I want to go now? An obvious one. Ah, here we go. Go to chapter number 5. And notice what Paul says here in chapter number 5. It is, what's that word? Reported how frequently? Commonly. That means that the byword was that this is going on at Corinth. Wow. You know, I want to be known for some great things, but some things I don't want to be known for is sin and foolishness. Man, you go over to Shine Light, man, they full of foolishness. Man, you go over to Shine Light, they're full of sin. Nah, I don't want that as my reputation. But this says that it was reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And as such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. They say you go on exceeding past what the Gentiles are known for. That one should have his father's wife. He said, you guys are out there. So there were questions. Now notice chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. And notice what he says down here. Now concerning the things whereof what? Ye wrote unto me. He said, now you guys are asking me questions. So the whole book of Corinth is both correcting errors and answering questions that they had. And he said, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But then he goes into some other thing. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. And so all throughout here, go to chapter number 8. And notice what he says in chapter number 8. Now, as touching things offered unto what? Idols. So again, they had wrote to him and he said, now concerning this issue, now concerning that issue, now concerning this issue, now concerning that issue. Much like you would write to your child if they go out to camp or something like that. And they say, well, mom, you know, I got chapped lips. You write back. Well, you know, use some Blistex or use some chapstick. They write back to you and say, mom, I wash my clothes all together and they turn pink. Amen. You write back and say, separate them and wash them separately. Amen. I actually experienced that. I tried to save money in college, washed all my clothes together and they came out pink because I washed the red shirt with them. Amen. And I learned a valuable lesson. Don't do that at home. I said, man, now I know why my mom didn't wash all the clothes together. Now I know why she said, boy, sort through his clothes. I was trying to save a buck. Shows you how much I saved. Amen. Ruined all my clothes. Amen. All right. So if you go down throughout here, you come to chapter number 10. He says, moreover, brethren, so on top of what I already told you, I would not that ye should be ignorant or without knowledge, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, notice something that's going on here because Paul wants the saints of Corinth to learn from the same examples that were in the Old Testament. And the application is this. If we're not careful, you'll wander like they wander. If you're not careful, you'll miss the blessings of God. If you're not careful, you can miss that which you so desire. What did they desire? Promised land. What did the whole generation miss? Promised land. And he said, your sons and your daughters are going to get it, but you're going to get it, all right. You're going to get your carcasses to fall. Amen. And so when you look at this, Paul is writing to them and he's encouraging them. And the correlation to Numbers in the book of Numbers and 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is that Corinth, you've got problems. You've got issues. If you don't get it right, as a church and as individuals, you're going to be wandering. You're going to be wandering. And so Paul tied that in and he used several illustrations from Numbers to bring to their remembrance. Remember how they wandered? Remember how their carcasses fell? Remember how they didn't make it? You want the same thing to happen to you? Now, Paul is endeared to this church. He loves this church. He started this church. And his heart is with this church. He says, I see problems. Not only did you guys write to me about problems, it's been told to me, about problems. And he says, I kind of believe some of that. And then he begins to deal with the problems. So let's go down to this outline here and answer a couple things here about the equal exposure. The equal exposure, verses 1-5, there's equal exposure. In other words, they all have the same exposure to the blessings of God. And let me ask you this question. How is it that a group of people can hear the same message and some respond to it and others don't? Give you, for instance, my wife and I, February 3rd, 1991, we both heard the preaching of the parable of the sower. My wife and I got saved, came forward to get saved. Nobody else in the church got saved. They all heard the same message. How come somebody else didn't get saved? Ms. White? Holy Spirit prompts people differently. That is correct. Now, is one message made for everybody? Not all the time. The Word of God is made for everybody. And when the Word of God goes out, it hits people where they live. Guess where my wife and I were living? On unsaved road that day. We were living on unsaved road. Now, some people were living on saved road, so it didn't affect them the same way. And I guarantee you there were some other people that were sitting on unsaved road that didn't make a decision, because there normally always is. So when it thinks they're saved, but they're really not saved. They think they've got the Holy Spirit, but they really don't. And so as we sat on unsaved road and it came across us, we thought, wow, we need to get saved. And we did. Paul is saying here, everybody had equal exposure here. Notice verse number 2. And were, notice the word, all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And did, what's the word? All eat the same spiritual meat. And did what? All drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so they all had this equal exposure here to the things of God. But notice in verse 5, but with how many? But with many of them, God was not well pleased. I'm so glad it doesn't say all of them. Amen. Many of them, God was, well, wait a minute. Weren't they all in the same boat? Weren't they all under the same teaching? Didn't they all have the same mentor in Moses? Didn't they all have the same example? Didn't they all have the same cloud? Didn't they all have the same sea on the both sides? Didn't they have all things equal? According to verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, everything was equal. But with many of them, it says God was not well pleased, for they were, what's the word? Overthrown in the wilderness. And so the first area that we're going to go through is this overthrown area, because you'll find that they were overthrown in the wilderness for a reason, even though they were all together. So let's go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And go to verse number 29, Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Because again, Paul is warning the church at Corinth, hey, you don't want this to happen to you. You don't want this to happen. And in 1 Corinthians chapter, Numbers chapter 14. Going between two books can be confusing. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 29. These instances all talk about when they were overthrown in the wilderness, and these parallel what Paul is saying in verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this where? Wilderness. What did 1 Corinthians say, verse 5? Overthrown in the wilderness. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have done what? Murmured against me. Is murmuring good? Murmuring is bad. It's bad. How many of y'all get upset with your children when they murmur? You tell them to go do something. We say, yes, ma'am. You didn't say yes, ma'am. You said something else. We get mad when our children murmur. But then when God tells us to do something, what do we do? How do you think God feels about that? It's not good. So Paul is warning the Corinthian church, hey, these guys were overthrown in the wilderness for murmuring. You guys don't want to be guilty of murmuring against God. When God tells you to do something, do it. Amen. By the way, we talk about tithing every Sunday here. Now, if you murmur against tithing, you're the loser. Amen. You're the loser, not God. God doesn't need your money. Amen. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but he wants to bless. And so the murmuring is the issue here. Go up a little bit to chapter, verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this where? Wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in this where? Wilderness. Notice verse 35. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this where? Wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall what? Die. So all throughout here, they're being overthrown in the wilderness. Paul is alluding to these events of wilderness life. It's similar to giving your child a warning about not doing something, and then they go do it. Then they are bearing their own brunt because you told them not to do it, and they did it. My mother did not tell me to wash my clothes separately. She assumed that I was smart enough to know to wash them separately. I tried to pull a fast one. And I thought, Mama, I can save a buck. And I wasted money because now all my whites were pink. Can you imagine walking around with a pink t-shirt? And back then, pink wasn't cool. It was not cool back in the day. Now it's cool. Everybody got pink shoes, pink this, pink that, you know, breast cancer this. And back then, it wasn't cool to have pink. And everything white that I had was pink. So I had to replace everything. That was not smart. I learned the hard way. Mama did what she did for a reason. Paul is writing to them. He's saying, look, what happened to them for a reason. And if you're not careful, Corinth, this can happen to you. Go over to chapter 26 in Numbers. And Numbers chapter 26. And notice verse 64 here, 26, 64. And again, this is at the end of their wilderness wanderings. They're taking the second census here. And he says, but among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered. This is the second census. When they numbered the children of Israel in the where? Wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely what? Die in where? The wilderness. What happened? According to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 5, they were overthrown in the wilderness. What is the admonition to you and I? Don't murmur against God's way or God's will, or you have the potential to wander. And Paul is writing this church at Corinth, and he said, look, guys, from what I've heard, you guys are on the right path to wander. You're going down that road. You've got to change your road signs and say, look, repent. Come back this way. He said, because what I heard from Chloe and what I heard from this person, what I heard from this person and what you wrote on to me about, it's reported that this thing is commonly in your church. You're going down the wrong road. You're wandering. And so he's warning them. Go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. So the equal exposure, he said, look, you had equal exposure. Everybody heard the same thing, but some of them or many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. Now we come to verse number 6. Number 6 is not just the equal exposure, but now the equal example. So in other words, he's saying there are going to be some examples before you, Corinth, to warn you. Now these things were our, what's the word? Examples to the intent we should not what? Lust after what? Evil things as they lusted. Did they lust in the wilderness? Yes. They murmured and they lusted. And so he is warning them again, there's an equal example of unbelief and you are being warned about the examples that are there against lust. Again, go over to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. What's the correlation here? Paul is trying to warn this baby church against the wanderings that they seem to be set on doing. By the way, they say that if you're not doing something about the past, you're going to be in danger of repeating it. Amen. By the way, are we in danger of repeating the past? We are. As a nation, we have watched nation after nation turn from God and go down. And we think we're smarter. It's not going to happen to us. Every nation that has been lax in their morality have then gone down in their spirituality. It happened to Rome. It happened to many of the countries that were prominent back in the days. It happened to Babylon. It happened to London or Britain. And it's going to happen to us. We are not too big that it can't happen to us. But every nation that has gone down in their morality have gone down in their spirituality
and have gone down in their ability to be a supernation. Every last one, folks, and we're on the right road for it. We're set for wanderings. We're set for wanderings. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Oh, no, where are we at now? Numbers chapter 11. All right. All right. They complained in verse number 1. The Lord heard it. And notice verse number 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a what? A lusting. What did Paul say over there? Neither lust like they lusted and fell. What is he alluding to? He's alluding to the mixed multitude being there. By the way, if you surround yourself with a mixed multitude, sooner or later, their lust will become your lust if you're not strong enough. You cannot be around sinful people all the time and call yourself going to still be spiritual. It just doesn't work that way. I wish it did. I wish it did. But it doesn't. Folks, I don't know about you, but every time my wife and I go home, it gets stronger and stronger now to stand for God. But when we were young baby Christians going home and everybody's not going to church and everybody's watching anything and everything on TV and listening to all kind of music and you're sitting amongst that and you're thinking, this is hard. Especially when they start playing songs that you used to do the jitterbug off of, amen? Yeah, I mean, start humping around. Ooh, I can do some of that, boy. Ooh, it's coming back. Hey, yeah, I remember. Oh, what am I doing? And you got to come back, got to get, say, hey, stop. But when you hear it, it takes you right back, and you haven't missed a beat. I mean, you can still move. You're thinking, man, for 56, whoa, yeah. And you, hey, if you're not careful. If it's not, whatever kind of music gets your boat, amen. They start playing in some of them joints, amen. Your family start playing it. You stand there, you at their mercy, like, oh, no. Can I go someplace else? Hey, he said, don't lust because it can happen. The mixed multitude had that. They bought it. And the children of Israel said, we want it too. Notice what he says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? They talk about food, all this stuff that they can eat. We want something too. You go home, you get in that environment, they listen to that music, and they say, I want some too. Amen. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. The mixed multitude. Verse 5, we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and onion breath and garlic, had garlic breath, amen. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. I thought the manna was good stuff. But now manna is getting outplayed for garlic and leeks and onions and all the rest of this stuff that gives you bad breath, amen. What happened? They began to lust. And what did Paul say? He warned them. Drop down to verse 33. Notice what Paul says. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place, Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that what? Lusted. They met an untimely death. Did they get their lust filled? Yeah, they did, but they died in the middle of it. They didn't get a chance to burp. Amen. They died. Hey, what does it say? Hey, air, the flesh was between their teeth. Didn't even get a chance to get the stuff down. And they died. I wonder what they died of. Probably a heart attack. Amen. Maybe the food was bad. I don't know. Amen. But whatever it was, God smote them with a very great plague, it says there. And as the flesh was between their teeth, they didn't even get a chance to enjoy it. Let me tell you something. The things that you lust for, you may think you want it real bad, but it's not going to do you any good. Ain't going to do you any good. Matter of fact, it's going to do you more bad than good. It's going to do you bad. The mixed multitude fell lusting. But now, guess what's happening here? People are dying as a result of their lust, their desires getting the best of them. What happened here? Paul is warning Corinth. He's saying, hey, look now, wait a minute now. I'm taking you all the way back to the book of Numbers for a reason. They wandered 40 years. You don't want that to happen to you. He says, hey, wait, they were overthrown in the wilderness. Hey, wait a minute. They lusted. Don't lust. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10.
So the equal exposure, verses 1-5, many of them God was not well pleased. The equal example, verse number 6, Paul said there's some patterns to follow, some patterns not to follow. Lust is not one of them. Then come down to verse number 7. And this is the unequal experience. And I want you to pay attention. It just said in verse number 5, but with how many of them? Many of them. Now the numbers are getting lower. And notice in verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters as were, how many? Some of them, so the numbers are thin. Verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as who? Some of them. Verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ as who? Some of them. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as who? Some of them. So obviously, when they were overthrown in the wilderness, verse number 5, and had to be warned off, that crowd, of course, died. Their children raised up and were a little smarter. Because that generation, he says, many of them, as a matter of fact, all of them except for two, didn't make it. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now their children are raised up, and some of them got smart. Some of them did not. Amen. And so the unequal experience here, some of them, not everybody fell into sin. By the way, do we have to sin? I like to use this illustration. When was the last time somebody twisted your arm to sin? Amen. When I was sinning, nobody had twisted my arm. Come on, sin with us. Okay. Okay, I'll go sin with you. Okay, you got me, uncle. Nobody has to twist our arm to sin. We sin of our own free will. Amen. Whether it's the mixed multitude drawing us there, whether we are overthrown in the wilderness with many of them, it matters not. The unequal experience, some of them, amen. Not all people fell into sin. Some of the children learned from their parents' mistakes not to do certain things. By the way, I learned certain things from older people in my life of things not to do. I remember my mother warned me a long time ago. She said, boy, if somebody threatened you, you are a fool if you stick around till they get back. And then she began to tell me a story about my cousin who somebody threatened him. And they said, if you're here when I get back, I'm going to shoot you. Like a fool, he stood there. They came back and shot him. He's a paraplegic. She said, look, boy, I'm telling you from experience. When people threaten you, don't you play with people's threats. I'm going to get you tomorrow. Well, mama, can I stay home from school? That one didn't work. Amen. Tell the principal. Amen. But she said, when people threaten you, you don't play with that. Amen. When moms and dads and the word of God give you some encouragement to warn you about Paul as a parent is warning them, I'm warning you now. You don't want this to happen to you. Amen. And notice what he says down there. Some of them, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. How would you like to be in a situation where 23,000 people died where you were at? 23,000 killed at one time. Go over to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25. Now, by the way, is Paul writing this for good reason? What did he say was reported commonly at the church at Corinth? Fornication. He said it's reported commonly that it's there. And so Paul is writing for good reason, and he's alluding to Numbers chapter 25. And in Numbers chapter 25, let's go down to verse number, let's start at verse number 1. And notice what verse number 1 says in Numbers 25 here. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Not only is there fornication, there's idolatry, amen? And he warns against that. Notice verse number 5. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, do what? Slay ye everyone his man that were joined unto Baal Peor. And then come down to verse number 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000. So obviously a few more died than what Paul even remembered or quoted. Because Paul said 23. There's the 24. Some residual deaths happened along the way. Maybe somebody did like Lot's wife and started looking. They got it too. Amen. Keep your eyes off of sin. Amen. I don't know, but I do know this. The Paul is writing to them and giving them an admonition here. And he's saying, look, there's an unequal experience here. Only some of them this happened to. Don't let it be you. Many of them died in the wilderness, and some people learned, but some didn't. And that's why he says some of them. Folks, Paul loves this church, and he's warning this church, and he's using a tremendous book called Numbers about wandering and letting them know, if you're not careful, you can wander into being overthrown. You can wander in lusting for things that you need no desire for, and you can get involved in fornication and things of that nature. If you're not careful, the mixed multitude can get you and begin to get you drawn away into things that you don't need to be drawn into. And Paul, as a loving parent here, is trying to warn this church. We'll get a chance to finish this up next week. But what are we looking at here? Paul took great care to tie this chapter and the preceding things that the Corinthians were doing and located them all in the book of Numbers, because that's where the wanderings were coming from. And he tied it all together to warn them, you don't want this to happen to you. You say, preacher, that wouldn't happen to me. What does Paul say down in verse 12? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I can deal with the mixed multitude. I'm super Christian. Look at the S on my chest. Could be stupid Christian, amen, if you're not careful. Hey, God is not going to be mine. We can't play with sin and call ourselves going to be successful. We can't mingle with the mixed multitude. We can't lust after evil things like they lust and say, I'm not going to get overthrown. It's not going to be successful. Pastor Benny used to always say, there's no such thing as a successful sinner. As there is just not. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. What am I saying here? Verse 13, there is no temptation take you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Paul, after warning them about the things that he heard about the church, after warning them about the things that were written about them, takes them all the way back to the book of Numbers and says, let me give you some examples. This is why they were overthrown. This is what they lusted after. This is who made them lust. This is what happens with fornicators. These things are not good. And I'm glad it's not all of them. It's just some of them, because many of them were overthrown. And I can hear Paul saying, and I don't want it to be any of you. Maybe it was some of them, maybe it was most of them, but I don't want it to be any of you. Folks, I have the same sentiment. I don't want it to be any of us. Amen. I don't want it to be any of us. I don't want it to be any of our children. Amen. Why? The devil's, he's after them. They're already being inundated at school with all the foolishness with the gay rights and all this other stuff out there. They're being inundated to accept it as okay. And folks, it is not okay. And so Paul goes through great length to warn them. There's a couple more that he goes into, and we'll look at those next week. But there's equal exposure. Everybody had the same thing. All things were equal. But even with the equal example, Paul says many of them were overthrown. But then with the unequal experience, he says, well, some of them learned their lesson while some of them did not. And folks, I do pray that as we look at the Word of God, we learn our lesson each time and we gain a warning of things that God tells us to be careful about, because they're there. They're dangerous. They really are. As the saying goes, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Amen. You say, well, I'm one of those fire eaters. So I don't know about all that. Amen. I just know you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You can swallow all the fire you want to. Amen. But you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You ever seen those guys that take that sword and put it down their throat? Amen. You know, not everybody's built that way. If you try, I don't think you're going to have a throat. Amen. Some folks can do that. For some, it's an illusion. But for the average person, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Paul sees this church at Corinth heading towards wanderings, and he ties the Numbers book into their wanderings and says, be careful. Young people, be careful. Be careful. Be watchful. Be careful. Your parents are instructing you for a reason. Don't look and say, hey, you're old, fuddy-duddy. No. No. I was 11 once too, like Elijah this morning. Amen. I was young once. Amen. And I was dumb with a gun trying to shoot at the target this morning. Y'all heard about that. Amen. I was unwise.
I have more respect for guns now. Amen. Let's all glean a blessing and learn from this message. Father, thank you so much that Paul is pouring his heart out to this church. Oh God, if I could stop all of us from sin, I would. Lord, it's an individual choice that we all make. And Lord, for some, it's easier than others. For some, they're surrounded by the mixed multitude against their will, their choices, and they have no other choice, and they've got to be strong. And for others, they've made a choice to be around the mixed multitude. For some, they have gone a-lusting after things that they ought not have, and some are just in a situation where they have to be strong. I'm so glad that you, through the Holy Spirit of God, allow Paul to pen 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. So the Lord, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we don't have to be overthrown in the wilderness, because you're going to make a way to escape that we can bear it. You're going to make a way that we don't have to get involved with the mixed multitude. You're going to make a way where we don't have to get involved in the fornications of the world and the things that they are getting involved with. Lord, you're going to make a way for us to escape that we can bear it. And God, help us to take the escape route that you provide. Help us not to think that we can do it ourselves. You said so clearly, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Help us to rely upon your power and your strength that you've given us, Lord, and help us to stand in the power and the might of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings and guide us on our way, and help our tomorrow, if you should tarry your coming, Lord, to be filled with promises and successes in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. All right, Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Amen. Don't forget, be in preparation for our communion on the 22nd. Pastor White. Thank you. This message, amen. Shall we dance with strife? I just want to give you a hint of